Praise the Lord. Giving honor where honor is due. I loved honoring our ministers this morning, our men of God. I think, you know, sometimes when you don't get out a lot, you don't realize how good you have it. Y'all have some amazing ministers covering you. They don't talk about you. You know, we don't have meetings and they're like, okay, we got to do something about so-and-so. They love you. They cover you in prayer. They're available for you. You know, in a well-taught household with small children, mom and dad are present, the kids are taught. When they get to a certain age, you will find that you have team players as opposed to patients in a clinic that are constantly needing attention and help. You have team players. They understand the house. They understand the vision. They know how mom likes the kitchen to run. They know what dad does not want you to take in that car. They understand all of these little details. If they're well taught, at a certain age, at a very young age, they become team players. They're working with the household. And it is that way in the body of Christ when you have the local church. When the people are well taught, the pastor does not have to be the therapist and the doctor and the psychiatrist and the go-between and the referee in those marriages and all of those things. He is a shepherd. And the shepherd says, we're going to feed here today. And everybody rallies and gathers. And the shepherd says, we're going to drink here today. And so, you know, I think the local church has given us this idea that the shepherd is supposed to be the doctor and the therapist and the, you know, that those things happen. Understand, they happen. You're needed sometimes, Brother John. They're going to call you and say, my wife's trying to kill me. Can you come help me? Because they're young and they're still learning. Because they're young and they're still learning. But when they're well taught, don't have to have a lot of that. Now, we got a group of well-taught people right here. We can take the world with these people right here. But I do need you to understand the vision in front of us is that God is going to bring in the young. Yes. He's going to bring in the little ones. They may be 60 years old, but they just met Jesus. And so they're going to need some extra help. They're going to need some extra training. But God has raised this body up to be well able to do that, because you're well taught, you can be that role model. But I am thankful that, you know, we have minister friends and, some of their stories. I remember growing up, some of my dad's stories, the pastor calling my dad, because my dad was a wrestler and a boxer and all that kind of stuff. And this guy had pinned the pastor in his house and was throwing stuff at his door and telling him, come out or I'm going to beat you up. And the pastor was freaking out, and he was afraid, and he called my dad to come deal with it. And my dad was like, oh, just another day of pastoring. And it didn't take much to take care of that situation. But there's a lot of stuff that does happen for pastors that they have to deal with. But it's a blessing to see an example of a well-taught body that are team players. And just like Saturday, it was so exciting to drive on the parking lot to see cars just wrapped around the building and everybody in their place doing their thing, in the kitchen, in prayer, and setting up equipment, making sure the background looked good. How are we going to get the word out about this? Everybody was just in their place, and we walked into everything being done. That's a blessing, and it's a sign of what God wants to do.
One thing real quick, the end of that story is her dad decked him and knocked him out with one punch. So let that be a lesson.
Wow. So let it be known. The word is out. This is how we deal. There's a whole lot of details to that story that I did leave out. But, you know, you've got to, and the other side of that is you got to protect the pastor, and he did what he needed to do to protect the pastor, so there you go. But folks are interesting. We're just going to take a few minutes today. I have a lot of notes, but I'm going to let God bring out what's necessary, because he did say that this day is for you to be encouraged, to be blessed, to understand who you are. When we walk through this world system, we can be devalued. We can be told that we are less than what we are. We can be told that you just have to put up with it. You just have to take it. You just have to suck it up and go along with the flow. This is how it is. And we can forget that, wait a minute, I've been given authority. I am not of the world system. I am in the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God. And there are some special things about me, and there's some stuff that I don't have to put up with. And you know, the world will tell you that a Christian should never hit anybody, right? But hey, you know, when you're threatening and you've become a threat to the ministry, to the pastor, to his family, there's authority. Jesus drove out that which was unlike God, that was in the house of God, with a whip. So, and understanding who we are, and I've got so many names for this lesson today, walking in authority, but I think I would even call it, you don't have to take it anymore, okay? You don't have to take it anymore, because God has empowered you and instructed you to walk in that power, has given you permission to rise up and be who I made you to be. Now, I want to give y'all a heads up about something. I read, how many of you are on Facebook, Instagram, read stuff, all these little memes? There's a lot of people who will put some things from devotional books. They'll take a picture of it and put it on there. One of the books, I think, is Jesus Calling. That was the one I was reading. I have a little trouble with that. I'm not saying that the whole thing is wrong, but when they take a scripture from, you know, Chronicles and Acts and Revelation, and they put it together and make a statement and saying, this is what God is telling you, I want you to do this and I want you to do that, I have a little trouble with that. God doesn't need us to pull a whole bunch of stuff out and make one sentence. What he's saying there, let's put it there with that. Now, I understand we can put together, you know, scriptures that support an understanding, but when they begin to write as if they were God, I have a little problem with that. I'm not telling you not to read it. I'm just saying be careful. But I read something in this, and it was God saying to his children, I know there are problems and issues around you. There are circumstances, but I want you to just let go of those circumstances. Don't try to change anything. I am sovereign. I'll take care of it. Does anybody see a red flag there? See, you have to be careful when you read these. That sounds so sweet and so beautiful, and I can just lay in the baby bed and let daddy take care of everything. But it said there that God said, I am sovereign. I will take care of it. Now, where is God sovereign? I'm taking you way back. What is that, Sister Lou? Say it again. He is sovereign, except where his word touches. And what his word touches, his word is sovereign. And in his word, he said, let man have dominion. And in his word, he said, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. Now, when the enemy comes and starts trying to eat the vegetables out of your garden, are you going to just go lay down and say, God will take care of it? God will take care of it. God took care of it by putting somebody in charge of it. And what he wants you to do is walk out in your garden and say, devil, stop and leave. And go back and bring back what you stole and then leave again. That's your right. That is your heritage. That is your calling. That is your commissioning from God. He has put you in charge of your garden, if you will, your domain. How many of you have ever listened to Kenneth Hagin teach? The book, The Believer's Authority, we have, I believe, in the bookstore. You can find him on YouTube. 30, 40 years ago, 50 years ago teaching. People have posted it up there, some videos, some just audio. The Believer's Authority. I would challenge you to just go on YouTube and look those up and just let it play for a while. Just listen to it. Just listen to it. One particular story he tells is that there were, I think, three times where he actually had a vision of Jesus talking to him. And in this one particular, some of you probably know this, but I know there's somebody here that doesn't, that in this vision, he was talking with Jesus, and this demon, he said it was kind of like a monkey, but not exactly, like got in between him and just started making all kinds of noise and all kinds of racket. And he said it got to a really important part with what Jesus was saying, and I couldn't hear Jesus anymore. And I kept thinking, why doesn't Jesus get rid of this? Why doesn't Jesus make this stop? And he said, finally, he got so frustrated, he got to a point where he told this thing that was making noise and being irritating, he said, look, you need to shut up and leave in the name of Jesus. And he said it just like dropped on the ground and just whimpered like he was just beaten. And Jesus told him, said, if you had not done that, I could not have. And I love to hear him tell the story, because he said, now, Jesus, I know I didn't just hear you say that you could not have done that, because I believe you can do anything. So tell me again, what did you say? And Jesus said the same thing again, because Jesus had given the authority to him in the earth. You have to tell it to go, because what God sets in order, he's not going to change. Just because you feel bad today, he's not going to change it. He's not going to take those things away from you. And it's not dependent on whether or not you've been perfect this week and dotted all your I's and crossed all your T's and spent at least an hour a day in prayer and you went to church and you returned a tithe and you called those people that you were supposed to. It's not dependent on that. It is not dependent on any of those things. It's dependent on the blood of Jesus that was shed that made you worthy, that made us worthy. Not of works, lest we would boast, but because Jesus said so. Who do you think you are to tell the devil what to do? Jesus said so. Jesus told me I could. Just put your hand on your hip if you have to. And remember who you are. And for some of us, it's time to clean house. It is time to clean house. There are things that have been plaguing us, and we've asked God to take care of it. And we've asked other believers to pray for us for it. And Kenneth Hagin said something very interesting. He said, I don't find anywhere where God told us to have another believer pray for us to get rid of the enemy's activity in our lives. Think about that. Think about that. There's a prayer of agreement. Stuff's going on. But when the enemy is directly plaguing you, it is yours to rise up and say no more. You don't have to put up with fear. You don't have to put up with depression. You don't have to put up with strife and contention. You'll find that most of those things are spirits. It's not just an unlearned attitude. It's a spirit that tries to enter in. And you have the right. You have the responsibility to say no, no more, not in my house. Y'all know I love, y'all remember that commercial? It was years ago. I can't remember the guy's name, basketball player, Olatunde or Tumbo, something like that. And he's in the grocery store, and this lady's putting cornflakes in the basket, and he slaps it. He says, not in my house. You know, it's about basketball. Nothing's going in the basket. So people are trying to put groceries in the basket, and he runs up behind them and slaps it out of their hand and says, not in my house. Some of y'all need to get that attitude. Stuff going on in your house. There's stuff going on in your house, and you need to say no. You can call the pastor to pray for you. We'll pray for you, but at some point, you got to rise up and say no. No more. No more. So let me give you a few scriptures and thoughts on that. Genesis, we're aware, in Genesis 1:26, where God said, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have complete authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the beasts, and over all the earth, and everything that creeps upon the earth. Complete authority. Let them have dominion. That's Genesis 1:26. I love this scripture, Psalms 115 and verse 16. It says, the heavens are the Lord's heavens, but the earth has he given to the children of men. This is our, it's like It's like when daddy goes out in the backyard and builds a playhouse for his kids. You know, and this is my house and I rule here, but y'all can have that one and do what you want to with it. If you want to paint the walls pink, I don't have to live there, so go ahead. God gave us the earth and he said, this is yours. And then he showed us through example, through what he does, and then through Jesus, through our Redeemer, how to keep order. Luke 10:19, Jesus said, behold, I give you authority and power to trample on serpents and scorpions, and physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall in any way harm you. I give you authority and power. That was before he went to the cross. Okay? Matthew 4. Let me see. Just a little story for that. Matthew 4:38. Jesus was inside the boat sleeping with his head on a pillow, and the followers went and woke him, and they said, teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? There was a storm. Y'all remember that? And they said, don't you care? And Jesus stood up and he gave a command to the wind and the water. And he said, be still, peace. And the wind stopped and the lake became calm. And then he said to his followers, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? Why was Jesus upset? Why was Jesus upset? Because they didn't deal with the storm. He expected them to deal with the storm. You know, I love the stories about, I know there's a song, I know the peace speaker, I know him by name, I know the one who calms the storms. I can remember, I think it was Brother Brian when he taught about how wonderful it is to know the one who will calm the storms, who will speak peace. But what if he told us that story to make us realize that we are the peace speaker? Not so that we would know one who does, but so that we would be the one who is. That's what Jesus wanted to see in his disciples. I want you to rise up in your authority and do what you're supposed to do. Rise up and do it. So God made the earth for man, and he put man in charge. And of course, man promptly gave it away, submitted to the word of another, and subverted it. And immediately God began speaking into the earth, but I made a plan to fix this. But I made a plan to fix this. And I'll get back to that in a minute. But I think the best way to understand this is that the earth is owned by God. It was made by God, and it has been leased to us. Okay? Can y'all give me like till 12:30? Can we do that? All right. All right. So stay with me. So he's given it to us in a lease agreement. And what he gives, he does not take back. But it is a lease. And there are some markers that he has set that we're not going to be able to change. For instance, when it's time for the end time, we're not going to be able to rebuke, you know, the Antichrist and say, get thee behind me, be thou, cease and desist, and go away. There are certain things that are set to take place. They will happen. But within our sphere of influence and within where we live and within day-to-day operation, we've been given authority to deal with things. We are not powerless. We are not victims in any situation, because a victim is one who is powerless to deal with a situation. And we are not powerless. We are not powerless. So in certain places we may be limited, but for day-to-day operation, we are in charge. So I want to talk some principles that are going to help us understand and use the authority that we have as believers on the earth. There are some ways that are going to make it work a lot better for us. You know, there are times that I have attempted to step in and change something and realize that I didn't have a full understanding. I didn't understand the tools I needed. I didn't understand the tools I had. And I had to have some learning in order to deal with that. So that's what some of this is. So number one, it's going to be four things. So number one, to walk successfully in the authority of God, we need to understand who he is and who we are. Okay, we can't fully understand who we are until we understand who he is. And we need to understand his nature and his character and how he acts in situations. He's given us plenty of insight in his word as to those things. Now, obviously, volumes of books have been written about who God is. So we don't have time in our now 13 minutes to address everything about who God is. But specifically in walking in authority, I just want us to look at a few things about God. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth, and the creator of all living things on the earth. He is a spirit. John 4:24, God is a spirit. He dwells in a different realm than we function in our bodies daily. But he is a spirit, and all that we see was created out of the spirit realm, okay? Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. He did not build a house out of lumber, okay? He didn't build a tree out of lumber. He built a tree out of spirit, out of words. He spoke them into being. He saw it in his heart, and he spoke it into being. So he created the worlds with his word, created the world that we live in with his word, and he upholds all things. Another translation says everything consists and is upheld through the word of his power, but not the power of his word. His power is multidimensional, but it is the word of his power that holds these things together. So as soon as man broke covenant with God, I mentioned this a minute ago, he began to speak his will into the earth. Now understand, when there was no opposition and the earth was without form and void, and he said, let there be light, light. He said, let there be, I don't know, cows. Now there's opposition in the earth. He says, let there be a redeemer to be brought forth to save mankind from what they've done. But it wasn't immediate. But he began to speak it into the earth. And when you look through the Old Testament, you look at the psalmist, you look at the prophets, and each one of them have a little piece of where they said, and the Messiah will come, and I am sending one who will deliver my people, and I am sending my Redeemer, to the extent that by Jesus' time, everybody was naming their kid Jesus because they knew what his name was going to be, and they wanted their kid to be the Messiah because they understood, because God had been speaking it and speaking it and speaking it and speaking it until it brought forth fruit in the earth, okay? It's very important to understand that. So he began speaking those things. He speaks and his word produces fruit. He declares the end from the beginning. Right? In Isaiah 46, we read about that, 9 and 10, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done. He calls things that are not as though they were. Romans 4:37, as it's written, I've made you a father of many nations. I need glasses. Before him whom he believed, even God who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. So God created it. He created it with his word. He speaks it into being. The exception to that is man. He formed us from the molecules of the earth, but then he breathed into us the breath, his breath of life. So we are dual dimensional, if you will. We are created from the things around us. That's how we function here. You have to have an earth suit to function on the earth. That's why demons want to possess people. That's why Jesus had to come to redeem us. He couldn't just reach down from heaven and choke the snake and say, okay, it's done. A man had to come do it because man was put in charge. So we understand that he made us, but he breathed into us the breath of life. So we are spirit beings. And because of that, we have authority in the earth. We're not just of the earth. We are of the earth and of God. So we'll get into that. Who are we? Who has he made us to be? We are spirit beings, created in the image and the likeness of our Father God. We came out of him. We came out of him. Do you understand that? Understand who your father is as believers. And though the first man gave up the authority, God already had a plan to redeem us and to bring us back into the place that he wanted us to be. Jesus came and got that back for us. So Jesus gave us that authority that was originally given to Adam and Eve so that we could work with him to bring the earth under subjection to him. So we are co-laborers with Christ. Okay? It sounds really good. What does that mean? What does that look like day to day? Remember in Amos, and I think in chapter 3, where it said, how can two walk together except they be agreed? How are you going to work with Jesus unless you agree to work like he works? Okay? How does he work? How did Jesus work in the earth? What did he do? Let's take a look at that just a little bit. Let me get back in my place. We are supposed to be imitators of him. We're fellow workmen with him. 1 John 2:6, if we say that we live in Christ, we should walk as he walked. 1 John 4:17, as he is, so are we in this world. Ephesians says, be imitators of God as dear children. So how did he operate? If we're co-workers, we're yoked with him, we got to work like he worked. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Jesus said, I am giving you the keys of the kingdom. And what you bind must be what is already bound in heaven, and what you loose must be what's already loosed in heaven. Keys are authority. Keys are, I have a right to this. Keys are, I can open it and I can shut it whenever I desire for whatever is needed. So you're going to have to know what happens in heaven in order to know what to do on earth. Is it God's will to heal you? Is there sickness in heaven? So if we're going to pray like Jesus on earth as it is in heaven, we got to understand that's not about, I don't want to hurt anymore. It's not about, Jesus, make me feel better. It's about, what does God want? Not my will, but thine. It wasn't my idea for you to die on a cross and take 39 lashes with those whips from those evil people so that I could be well. You did that. That was your idea. And as Pastor Jim always said, I'm not leaving anything on the table. If there's an offer, I'm going to take it. God wants that for you. God bought that for you. A lot was given up for you. Don't let it in your house anymore. Don't take it anymore. Don't take it anymore. So Jesus spoke healing to bodies. He spoke a curse over the fig tree. He spoke peace to the storm. He spoke a rebuke to Satan when Satan spoke through Peter. He spoke commands to demons to leave humans. In all of these things, he did not pray, dear Father in heaven, if it be thy will, set this man free. Peek with one eye and see if it happened. He did not. What's the one time he prayed? Anybody remember? He prayed. He said, Lord, I'm going to pray. Although I know you've already heard me about Lazarus and you've already told me what you're going to do, I'm praying so these people will hear and know that it's you and you're going to do what you said. That's the only time he prayed about it. And Jesus said we would do the works he did and greater works. He gave us power over all the power of the enemy. We have dominion in the earth because he got the keys of the kingdom back, the kingdom of God established in the earth. And he said to speak to the mountains. He said to speak to these things. So if we are co-laborers with Christ, if we agree with him, if we walk as he walked, we do the works he did, and we imitate him, then we have to learn to speak to situations, to speak to the elements, to speak to our bodies, and to speak to the enemy to ensure God's will is done. We have the authority to do so. How do we have the authority? Jesus gave it to us. That means we have backing, right? Just like an officer of the law says, if you don't stop, I'm going to have to arrest you. You don't look big enough to take care of me, buddy. Oh, yeah, let me call for backup. We got you. We got you. Because And that's the next thing. When he's operating under authority, we're operating in authority. Whew, I need to talk fast. Number two is submission. Jesus was in authority because he was under authority. You cannot be a lone ranger for Christ. You have to work with the team. You have to work with the people. Remember the Roman centurion in Romans 8 where he said, my servant boy is lying paralyzed. He's distressed. He's in a lot of pain. And Jesus said, I'll come and I'll take care of that. And he said, you know what? That's not necessary. And the humility that he had, he said, I'm not really worthy that you would come into my house. But I understand authority, and I see that you are under the authority of God, and I know how that works for me because I can just give an order, and it goes out, and I don't have to go anywhere, but I've got people that take care of that for me. I got people that do that for me. We have the power of God that does those things for us. When we commission, when we speak, the angels, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God back these things up. So when we stay under authority, under the authority of God, what does that mean? Submitted to Him. That's what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. It's not just so we're putting a quote on the end of it. It's not just a wrap up. It's not just a religious saying. It means under the authority of, by the will of. I have to know that's what He wanted. Because as a policeman, if I come out and arrest you because you wore brown shoes today, you got a case in court. Because that's not part of what's supposed to be done. That's not what the law requires. That's not what was written. That's not what's supposed to be carried out. So it has to be what He said and what He wants. So we have to know the Word of God. What does God say on this situation? Does God say I'm supposed to have peace? Yes. Do I have peace? No. Okay, what are we going to do about it? Evict unrest. Now, we have decisions to make. We may need counsel. We may need assistance. But we do not have to live in that distress. And it's a process to learn how to get out from under it. Understand, I'm not saying you just snap your fingers and everything's, you know, wonderful, unicorns and rainbows. It's a process to learn. Ask anybody that goes to a police academy. How easy was it? If they do it right, it's not supposed to be easy because there's a lot to learn. There's a lot to grasp. And then the first time you go out there and try to take care of something, you may get yourself beat up a little bit and you got to come back in and talk to the captain and say, okay, what did I do wrong? How did I mess this up? What's going on? How do we get this right? So it's a process. I understand it's not that simple, but we do have to be submitted to God, submitted to His will, submitted to what He wants. Number three, oh, it's going to be close. Y'all may have to give me grace. Number three is fellowship and prayer. I cannot overstate the necessity of this because this comes along with submission. How many times do we read where Jesus went away to pray? Anybody read that in the Gospels? Regularly, quite a bit. He left everybody else. Now, this is just me thinking. I would think if anybody would get a pass on prayer, it'd be Jesus. He knows God as the Son of God. What do they already know what everybody knows. They know what each other knows. And yet He understood the necessity because, you see, I don't think He saw it as something I have to write on my calendar and make sure I do. I don't think He saw it as a checklist. I got to spend time with Daddy. That's where my life comes from. That's where the words of life come from. That's where my strength is. In His presence is fullness of joy. You people are getting on my nerves. I have got to go spend some time with Daddy. Have I been with you so long? I need some peace. I need some rest. That is not self-generated. Time alone does not guarantee that you will be refilled or restored. Time with the Father does. It is necessary. And do you remember that Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do, and I only say what I hear Him say. That meant He had to be looking and listening. a lot. I heard somebody say that's how he knew which boat to get in every time he went to the seaside, because God had told him. He had to know these things. God will tell us things ahead of time, but we have to be listening. You know, I really believe that even right now, God is speaking to us, continually speaking to us, speaking over us. Are we listening? And that's why you come away and you get away from the noise and the stress and everything that's going on, because we're learning to tune in. God, I need to hear you. I cannot do this without you. This life is impossible without you, and I am nothing without you. I have to have time with you, God. But when you infuse me with your life, when you remind me of the words of life, and when you empower me just by being in your presence, I come out like Superman, and I am ready for this. Devil, what you got? I don't care what it is. I am empowered. I have the strength and I have the might, but it comes from spending time with him. We have to spend time with him. We can only walk in his level of authority when we have his level of fellowship and submission to the Father. You need to remember that. We can only walk in his authority when we have his level of submission and fellowship with the Father. And then the last thing that I want to remind you of, 3 minutes grace, 5 minutes grace. The last thing that I would remind you of is from Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. And this is kind of kicking it into another level. When we get into that place of understanding who we are and understanding our example and identifying with Christ and spending time with the Father and knowing what he wants and how he wants it. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, one of those prophecies about Christ where it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And the government, the rule, the dominion will be upon his shoulders. So Christ is the head. Where's the body? We are the body. So the government is on the body of Christ. The government, the rule of dominion of the kingdom that he brought into being when he got the keys back, when he went to hell and defeated the devil, when he was resurrected, and then he took his blood up and he put it on the mercy seat and he said, "Okay, we're done now, and I'm interceding for my people now because they're going to rule. They're going to rule and reign down there. The government is upon us." So Jesus is the head, we are the shoulders. The government, the carrying out of his will on earth rests on the body. Rests on the body. What is it like? Let's look at our U.S. system of government. We have three branches of government. Anybody remember that? Yes. Executive, legislative, and judicial. Whoo, good. Y'all are good. Y'all are sharp. What happens if the judges don't show up? What happens if the police don't show up? What happens if nobody writes the legislation to carry out the heart of what needs to be done? It doesn't matter how much government you have. If nobody shows up on the job, is there order in the kingdom?
No.
So where we see disorder, God, what's missing? God, what is missing? You're the one that's supposed to bring order. If the world is in chaos, why did God let this happen? Why did God let this happen? What's our answer? God is not letting it happen. God didn't want it to happen. God did everything he could to keep it from happening. But the enemy has managed to come in and deceive people to think that God doesn't want us to have that much authority. God doesn't want us to stand in those places. We're not God. We're not good enough. We haven't been good enough. We can't do that. We didn't pray enough. I got mad at my husband this week. I can't do that. I can't walk in authority. And the enemy has deceived us into thinking it's based on works and knowing that we can never be perfect. We can never rule. And God said, I didn't ask you to be perfect. I didn't ask you to get it right all the time. I asked you to grow up. But it's a process. And that's why there's mercy, and that's why there's the blood of Jesus. But in the meantime, you need to bring some order in your area. I can remember telling my children that. That's how I taught it. I said, your room, this is your garden, this is your domain. Keep order. And when it would get messy and it would get awful and they couldn't find their homework, I would say, you need to get some order in your garden. Some of us need to get some order in our garden. Remember who you are. Remember that you are not a victim. You are not without resource and recourse. And if you get a little sideways on it, you got some help you can call, some brothers and sisters, get some backup and rise up and seize the life, the abundant life, the joy, the victory, the functionality, and the purpose that Jesus died for you to have. Don't take it anymore.
Praise God. Don't take it anymore. We don't have to, because God has given us his authority. Father, I thank you for the word that we've heard. I thank you, Father, for this whole day that you have been here with us, your presence, your anointing, your love, your peace has been felt, has been energized into our bodies. And Father, I thank you that our souls are refreshed, our spirits are renewed in you today, Father God. We thank you. We thank you. Blessed be your name. Thank you for the word. We say that it is life to our flesh and health to all that is that we are composed of, your word. And I praise you for it, Father God. I thank you that it is planted in our heart and it grows and it produces much fruit, the fruit of being a co-laborer with you to do the work that you have placed in front of us to do. Thank you, Father God. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, stand with me. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. We glorify you, Lord. Let's just spend a minute just praising God, and then we'll change. Father God, I thank you. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to your name. Glory to your name, Father. Oh, we celebrate you. We worship you. You are our mighty God. You are our hope, our strength, our life. In you we live and move and have our being. And apart from you, we can do nothing, but we can do all things through your strength, your ability, your anointing, because you infuse us with your power as we stand on your word. We thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I call you blessed. I say that you are the children of the Most High God, and his word leads you and guides you into all truth, triumph, and victory. His spirit goes before you and gives and makes a way for you. You have favor. You have peace. You have joy. No weapon formed against you prospers. No evil shall befall you or come against you. Everything you put your hand to prospers and is successful when you are obedient to the will of God. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are loved. You are blessed. Now, I have it on good information that we are supposed to take authority over the things of the earth. I know right now there's a cake over in that room over there. We're going to run over there and take authority over it. And we're going to attack that sucker, and we're going to get it. Take care of it. Put it under subjection. So we'll see you over there.